Good morning and welcome to Simply Economics. It's Friday, April 26th. On today's show, the Texas Comptroller Report reveals population and economic changes in the High Plains region, while first graders start a donut shop to learn economics. Plus, luxury car sales plunge as buyers are put off by South Korea's neon green license plates. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Economics. We start off with a look at the latest regional report from the Texas Comptroller, focusing on demographic and economic trends in the High Plains region of the state. The report analyzes data from various government sources to provide insights into the unique economic conditions of this area. For more, we turn to our correspondent. What were some of the key demographic findings from this report?
The report found that while the High Plains region's population grew by nearly 2% between 2012 and 2022, this was significantly slower than the 15% growth seen statewide over the same period. Lubbock County led the region in total population gains, adding 31,500 residents, while Randall County had the fastest growth rate at 17%. However, many of the more rural counties in the region actually saw population declines over the past decade.
How did population trends differ between urban and rural areas within the High Plains region?
The data shows a clear urban-rural divide. While the Lubbock and Amarillo metropolitan areas grew by over 10% and 5% respectively, populations fell by more than 9% in both the region's micropolitan counties and those not part of a designated core-based statistical area. This reflects broader trends of urbanization and rural population decline seen in many parts of the country.
What does the report tell us about the age demographics of the High Plains region compared to the rest of Texas?
The High Plains region skews slightly younger than the state as a whole. In 2021, the median age in the region was 33.8 years, compared to 35 years statewide. However, there was significant variation between counties, with median ages ranging from just 30 years in Dallam County to 50 years in Roberts County. An aging population in some of these rural counties may present economic challenges in the years ahead.
Thanks for that overview of the key demographic insights from the 2024 Texas Comptroller's Report on the High Plains region. It will be important to monitor these population trends and their economic implications moving forward. Speaking of economics education, first graders in Lisbon, Ohio are getting a taste of the subject by creating their very own donut shop right in their school. The students have been studying goods, services, and local businesses, but their teachers wanted to make the lessons more hands-on and engaging. For more on this sweet story, we turn to our Simply Economics correspondent. So tell us, how did this creative classroom project come about?
The first grade teachers at this school in Lisbon were looking for a way to bring their economics lessons to life. They wanted the students to really understand concepts like goods, services, and how businesses operate. So they came up with the clever idea of having the kids start their own donut shop. This allowed the students to apply what they were learning in a very tangible, relatable way.
It sounds like the students were quite involved in setting up their donut business. What kind of decisions and tasks did they take on?
The first graders were engaged in every aspect of creating their donut shop. They took a vote to decide on the icing and sprinkle combinations for their donuts, coming to a consensus on the flavors to offer. The students even designed their own form of currency called donut dollars, which customers could use to purchase the tasty treats. Through these activities, the kids got firsthand experience with decision-making, creativity, and financial transactions that are integral to running a business.
This is certainly a unique approach to teaching economics at such a young age. How did the teachers feel about the outcome of this experiential learning project?
The first grade teacher, Carly Rudabaugh, expressed how rewarding it was to see her students excited about applying the economic concepts they had been learning in class. As an educator, there's always a hope that lessons are resonating with students. But to witness them actively engaging with the material and putting their knowledge into practice That's the ultimate validation. Projects like this donut shop not only make learning fun, but also help young minds grasp complex topics through concrete, relatable experiences.
A classroom transforming into a donut shop, an innovative way to teach economics and entrepreneurship to these first graders in Ohio. It's heartening to see students getting excited about learning through such creative, hands-on projects. On a different note, South Korea's luxury car market is taking a hit as buyers are put off by a new requirement to use neon green license plates on high-end vehicles. Sales of imported luxury cars like BMWs and Porsches plunged 17% in the first 2 months of this year compared to the same period in 2022. Here to discuss the economic factors at play is our Simply Economics correspondent. So tell us, what role does signaling play in the luxury car market, and how are these green plates impacting that?
Signaling is a key aspect of the luxury goods market. Consumers often purchase expensive items like high-end cars, designer clothing, and accessories as a way to signal their wealth and status to others. The distinctive look of luxury cars acts as a clear status symbol. However, South Korea's new requirement for owners of luxury cars priced over $70,000 to use bright green license plates makes these vehicles stand out in a way that many find undesirable. The plates are intended to combat tax evasion and discourage ostentatious displays of wealth, but are having the effect of stigmatizing luxury car ownership. This undermines the signaling value that motivates many of these purchases in the first place.
And what effect are we seeing this have on actual demand for luxury vehicles?
The green license plate requirement is significantly depressing demand for luxury cars in South Korea. Sales were down 17% January and February compared to 2022 levels. Dealers have reported a wave of order cancellations as buyers balk at the prospect of driving a car that loudly announces their wealth. Some potential buyers are opting for lower-priced models to avoid the green plate requirement. Others are exploring ways to import luxury cars privately to bypass the rule. But overall, the market is seeing a notable chilling effect from this policy.
South Korea has historically had very high taxes on luxury vehicles, both to raise revenue and discourage conspicuous consumption. If demand for these cars drops significantly due to the green plate rule, what impact could that have on tax receipts?
It's likely that tax revenue from luxury car sales will decrease due to this change in demand. Luxury cars are what economists would generally consider highly elastic. A small change in price or other factors has an outsized impact on the quantity demanded. If we assume an elasticity of 2 or higher, the 17% drop in sales volume would translate to an even larger decrease in tax revenue, perhaps in the range of 25 to 35% compared to before. The green plates are meant to identify tax cheats, but they may end up shrinking the overall tax base as buyers change their behavior to avoid them. Policymakers will need to weigh those revenue impacts against any social benefits of discouraging conspicuous consumption.
Thanks for that analysis of the complex economic dynamics around South Korea's green plate initiative. It will be interesting to see how this develops. Shifting our focus now to Virginia Beach, where a major dredging project kicked off today that is expected to have significant economic impacts for the region. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Norfolk District broke ground on Phase 2 of the Atlantic Ocean Channel Deepening Project, part of the wider effort to deepen the Norfolk Harbor to an average depth of 55 feet. For more on this story, we turn to our correspondent at the scene. What will this project mean for the local economy?
This project is a huge deal for the Hampton Roads region. By deepening the channel to accommodate larger container ships, it positions the Port of Virginia to be much more competitive as an international trade gateway. Virginia Beach Vice Mayor Rosemary Wilson said the deeper channel is expected to bring billions of dollars in economic benefits to the area. The dredging is part of the overall wider, deeper, safer project that will deepen three key channels: the Newport News Channel to 55 feet, the Chesapeake Bay's Thimble Shoal Channel to 56 feet, and the Atlantic Ocean Channel to 59 feet.
It sounds like this has been a major undertaking, years in the making. What went into the planning and approval process?
You're absolutely right. This has been a long time coming. David White, the executive director of the Virginia Maritime Association, said that back in 2012, industry leaders made the case at the Hampton Navigational Summit that 50-foot depths were no longer sufficient to maintain a competitive advantage. It took the dedication and hard work of many stakeholders, especially the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Norfolk District, to bring the vision to fruition. Colonel Brian Hallberg, the district commander, thanked the team for exemplifying the core values of communication, collaboration, and commitment that propelled the project's success.
In addition to the economic benefits, I understand there are also some environmental advantages to this dredging work, correct?
That's right. Not only will this project boost trade and economic prosperity, but the sand gathered from the dredging will be used to replenish and protect the Croatan and Virginia Beach resort beaches from storm erosion. So it's a win-win in terms of contributing to the regional economy and global commerce, while still respecting environmental sustainability. Phase 2 construction on deepening the Atlantic Ocean Channel specifically is slated to begin in 2025 and should wrap up by that summer.
Thanks for that update from the groundbreaking in Virginia Beach, a major development for the Hampton Roads region. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Economics. We'll see you back here tomorrow.